welcome to another broadcast that we call Plain and Simple. Yesterday, our message, we were looking at King Balak in Moab. He's having a bad day. Israel's parked right on his borders, and he was afraid they were going to attack. So he sends his men 400 miles to meet up with Balaam, who he wanted to come and curse Israel. We're going to pick up the story in just a minute. Stay tuned for our broadcast. Well, as we pick up the story in Numbers chapter 22, the king, Balak, has sent his men to talk to Balaam, that Bible creep who had crept in unawares as pretending to be a prophet in Israel. However, Balak knew more than what the people of Israel knew about who he was. He knew for a fact he was a soothsayer. He sent his men to get him so he would come and curse Israel. And we read in verse number 12, "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up and went unto Balak," that's another 400 miles back home, "and said, Balaam refuses to come with us." Now the king's been waiting for about 2 months to get this answer. However, he's not about to give up on his famous soothsayer. He's going to hire him if he can. Balaam obviously had no interest whatsoever in the will of God. He was simply using this situation as a negotiating tool to get more money from Balak, because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 2:15 that Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. Well, the negotiation continues, and we read in verse 15, "And Balak sent yet again more princes, and more honorable than they, and they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith the son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, and curse me this people." Now we're having a very risky response by Balaam, but he's somebody who knows how to work the deal to get more money. And he says in verse 18, "Balaam answered and said unto the servant of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." Again, Balaam is not the least bit interested in the will of God. He is simply enjoying playing the money game with Balak. Balaam realized that Moab was sore afraid, and they were distressed, it says in verse 3, because the people came out from Egypt. That is why we read, Balaam said, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." He wanted them to tarry and stay behind so he could negotiate some more. That's all there was to it. Well, in all of this, we see the mercy of God. It is only by the mercy of God that God deals with Balaam at all. However, like Balaam's New Testament counterpart, Judas, Balaam ignores all of God's mercy and continues with his focus on finances. John 12:6 tells us that Judas was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And the Bible tells us that Balak loved the wages of unrighteousness. In verse 20, we have God's response to Balaam. He said, And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. The first thing we must realize about this is verse 21 says that God's anger was kindled because he went. What's happening here? God was simply giving Balaam another chance to make a right decision. Balaam was only interested in continuing his negotiations with Balak, and he only heard what he wanted to hear. If you read it carefully in verse 20, it says, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. We read nothing of them men coming to call Balaam that morning. All Balaam heard is what he wanted to hear, which was, rise up and go with them. Well, in verse number 21, Balaam arose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Balaam was in his glory as he left town with these high officials from Moab. Remember, Pethor was a hotbed of soothsayers, and Balaam was chosen above them all by the king. If this was happening in our day, the cameras of CNN would have been reporting the story of the princes and Balaam leaving the town, and Balaam saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. Well, verse 22 tells us God's anger was kindled, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. From this point on in the story, the Lord's dealings with Balaam changes. God has warned him, saying, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." However, Balaam had crossed the line. God's anger was kindled to the point that he was ready to kill Balaam. In fact, in verse 33, the Lord said, "Unless she," that is Balaam's donkey, "had turned from me, surely now I had slain thee and saved her life." No doubt Balaam was very embarrassed as he was before all of these officials that he couldn't even keep control of his donkey. They're probably laughing at him as they're wondering how Balaam could possibly defeat the nation of Israel since he couldn't even control his little donkey. Well, the story of Balaam's donkey is recorded between verses 22 and 31. In verse 31, we find Balaam flat on his face. The Lord tells Balaam that his way was perverse before him. To be perverse is to show a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unacceptable in spite of the consequences. To be obstinate is to be stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or chosen course of action despite attempts to be persuaded to do so. The Lord said he is perverse and he is obstinate. That is the Lord's description of Balaam. Keep in mind that Balaam talked like a fundamentalist. However, the Lord saw him as he really was. 1 Samuel 16 says, "Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." Well, in verse 34, Balaam says, "I have sinned." Oh, isn't that nice? "Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back." Well, one thing that Balaam had in common with Judas Iscariot was they both said, "I have sinned." However, neither one of them were forgiven. What a lesson is recorded here for us. We seem to think that we can live the way we want, and when we are ready, God will surely be standing there ready to forgive us. One other person in the New Testament said, "I have sinned." That person was forgiven, and that was the prodigal son. Unlike Balaam or Judas Iscariot, the prodigal son repented, and he was forgiven. The story can be found in Luke chapter 15. A little bit about the doctrine of forgiveness. First, there can be no forgiveness without repentance. In Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus said, "If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." There can be no forgiveness without repentance. There is no such thing as a sincere repentance that the Holy Spirit isn't involved in. When Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, his listeners were convicted by the Holy Spirit, and as a result, we read that they repented. The Spirit of God does not always strive with man, Genesis 6 and 3. And Hebrews 12 and 17 says, "For ye know how that afterward, when he," that is Esau, "would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Balaam and Judas had both crossed the line. At that point, again, I want to give you the scripture that says the Spirit of God does not always strive with man. Balaam and Judas had both crossed the line. At some point, they grieved the Holy Spirit once too often, and their fate was doomed. And let us be warned again that the Bible says, "Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." God was not interested in Balaam's little prayer to get out of trouble. Balaam says, "If it displease thee, I will get me back again." Our prayers to get out of trouble or to stay out of hell do not impress God. Jesus said, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We better get back to this doctrine of repentance. From this point on, things change, and we understand why Balaam was as bold as he was. When we realize that God had spoken through Balaam's donkey, now he will speak through Balaam. Chapter 22 and verse 28 tells us the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. Now we read, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, Numbers 23 and verse number 5. In chapter 23 and 12 we read, and he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord has put in my mouth? In 23 and 16 we read, and the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth. Chapter 23 and 26, all that the Lord speaketh, that must I do. All the fundamental talk that was coming from Balaam was what God put in his mouth, like a puppet. Balaam must have been more embarrassed now than he was when God was speaking through his donkey. Well, as the story goes on, we see that the king is getting a little bit upset with Balaam. In chapter 24, verse 10, says Balak was angry. Verse 11 says, flee from this place. He just wants him out of there. Well, eventually, we read in verse 14 that Balaam comes up with a solution for Balak's problem. He said, now, behold, I go to my people. Come, therefore, and I will advertise thee. That word has been translated counsel thee 25 times. I will counsel thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And Balaam counseled Balak, and as a result, we read in Numbers 31 and verse 16, behold, these caused the children of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to commit a trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the people. It tells in Psalm 106 and verse 28, they joined themselves unto Baal Peor, and they ate the sacrifices of the dead. And so what was the result of Balaam's counsel? We read they joined. Balaam advertised or advised Balak not to fight Israel, but to get Israel to mingle with them. After all, Moab was related to Israel through Lot. Moab was not following the ways of God. However, they were family. The new plan was, let's just forget our differences and get together. Does that sound familiar? What was God's reaction to that? Numbers 25 and verse 3 says, and Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Numbers 25 and 3 says, and Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Not only did they join, they ate, it says. God's people began to feed on whatever Moab had to offer. Third, we read, thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions. The word inventions has been translated doings 35 times. If you study the account carefully, you will find that it was the young people in Israel who were duped into apostasy. And exactly the same thing is happening by our fundamental apostasy promoters today. The doctrine of Balaam is still with us today and is being promoted by both saved and unsaved fundamentalists. Never in the history of what we call fundamentalism have we been so enticed to compromise the truths of scriptures and to join with those who are guilty of spiritual fornication, such as those who are joining with those in the CCM. That is an issue of separation. It's not a music issue. The music is rotten. Don't misunderstand me. It's a separation issue. And God is going to be just as angry about that issue as he was angry with these people in Israel's day. Well, we read, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment. Phinehas was the son of Eleazar, the grandson of Aaron. His zeal for the Lord inspired a remnant to stand true to the things of the Lord. That remnant not only rushed into the door of the tabernacle to confess Israel's sin and to plead for God's mercy, they rose up when the majority failed, and they stood and they defended the cause of Christ. Romans 11, verse 4, referring to Israel's defection, says, but what saith the answer of God? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal or the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant. As in Elijah's day, there was a small remnant, and there is a remnant today. Now we need to do is watch out for the false prophets. Peter ended his life warning us about those who would follow the way of Balaam. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, Peter warned, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily will bring in their damnable heresies. Damnable heresies? What is that? That is a heresy that says you do not have to repent in order to be saved. There's all kinds of heresies, but that is a damnable heresy. If you believe that, you're going to hell. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Peter said, watch out, there's going to be some among you who are going to bring in damnable heresies. And notice what it goes on to say, even denying the Lord that bought them. That bought them? Yeah, they're Christians. They are Christian heretics presenting a damnable heresy in the last days. We've been warned about that. We need to smarten up and realize what's going on in our midst today. Peter warned, they will bring swift destruction. That word has been translated waste in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark 14. Well, here we have it. That's all for today. Tune in for our broadcast tomorrow.